What a time for their life. I remember those days, anxious to get out of high school and looking forward to life and what God would have for our lives from beyond high school. But I believe what we're going to share this morning is not just for graduates. I believe it's for everyone. I believe all of us can learn about what success is like and how we can be successful in life. And when I talk about success, I'm not talking about monetary success as much as I'm talking about success in our lives, in our relationship with God, our relationship with others, and how we follow God in our lives. We're the book of Proverbs in our series, Wisdom for Living. And we're looking at verse number 1, Proverbs 3, if you'll stand out of respect for the Word of God. And this morning, we're going to talk about principles for success, according to Solomon, who was possibly one of the greatest men or wisest men who ever lived. Proverbs 3, verse number 1. My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands, for length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Let's read that again. My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands, for length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Father, we love you so much. We thank you that your word is life and your word has all the answers for life. I pray, Lord, even as we share with our graduates today, but also with the whole body, Father, help us to take your word and put it to use. Help us, oh God, to follow your paths and what your word instructs us to do and how to live. Now, Father, I pray for these next few moments that you would just speak to our hearts. God, anoint, Father, my lips to speak, and anoint the ears and the heart of the hearer. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Y'all may be seated. Solomon was one of the wisest men who ever lived, and God had given him immense wisdom. Kind of reminds me of the old parable about King Solomon, and you remember the story in the Bible. Now, this changed it up a little bit, but one day Solomon is in his court, and two ladies come dragging a young CPA dressed in a three-piece suit right between them. In between them, and they throw him at the foot of the throne before Solomon. And they're yelling and screaming at this young man, and Solomon's wondering what's going on. And the first woman cried out, "This young CPA agreed to marry my daughter." The other one chimed in and said, "No, he didn't. He agreed to marry my daughter." So the two women continued to argue before King Solomon until finally he demanded silence. And he said, "Bring me my sword." He said, "Bring me my sword." He said, "We shall cut this young man in half and we will give one piece of him to each of the women." The first lady said, "Fine, that sounds good to me." The second one said, "Oh, sir, please don't spill innocent blood. You can give him to the other woman." King Solomon then spoke up and said, "Pick up the young man and give him to the first woman." The whole court went crazy. Like, "What are you doing? She wanted to saw him in half." And he said, "Precisely. It proves that she is the true mother-in-law." So, he was a wise man, wasn't he? Man, some of you ladies don't like that. It'll get better next week on Mother's Day. Solomon was a wise man. He had a lot of great wisdom in his life. He was a man who knew about life, and God had gifted him with this intuition of how to be wise in life. In fact, the Bible records that he is possibly the greatest and the most wise man who ever lived, because God granted him that. Because of his wisdom that he had, he gained enormous wealth and he had success in life. You know, success is not about the money part as much as it's having success in life. Success in how we live. Success in the things we do, success in our relationship. And this has kind of been what our Wisdom for Living series has been all about, and talking about how to be live in wisdom, in the wisdom of God. Solomon's purpose for writing the book of Proverbs was to know wisdom and understanding, and for us to gain and learn how to live this life according to God's word. And church, when we talk about this morning, when we talk about success, we often think about success in terms of what it means to live the American dream. But can I tell you that there's different things in the Word of God concerning success than what we see in our culture today? That to live in success, there's some things that we must follow. And I believe as these graduates in the room are embarking on the next step of life, it would do them well to heed the admonition of Scripture of how to walk in success. But can we take that a step further? That all of us in this room, whether young or old, can benefit from the Word of God and what it says about living a successful life. What I believe for every one of us in this room is that God desires for you and I to live a life that is fulfilling our passion and purpose in life. The Bible says in Psalm 20:4, may He grant you according to your heart's desire and fulfill all your purpose. For us to fulfill the purpose of God in our lives, we must follow the book. Can I get an amen? Amen. We must follow the book. And so this morning, there's several things about success that I want to show you. Look at verse number 1. My son, do not forget my law. Do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. Notice this phrase, verse number 2. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Now, how many of you would like that in your life? That there'd be length of days, long life, and peace. And for us to have that, notice what he says, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. The way that you and I live this life of success, live a blessed life, the phrase length of days literally means living a blessed life. If we are to live a blessed life, then we need to heed the commands of God in Scripture. And for us to do that, in chapter 3 in Proverbs, it gives us 4 different things that we're going to look at real quickly. If you have your handout, pull those out of your bulletin. And we're going to find 4 things that we needed to in order to live a successful life. And the first thing is, success is found in how we walk. In how we walk. Look at verse number 3. He says, let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. And so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. The beginning of success is found in the way we walk through life. It's found in the way that we live our life. And these are things that Solomon is telling us to cling to. Things that we need to hold dear to our heart and things that we need to hold fast in our life. If we are going to walk successfully, there's 2 things that we need to do if we're going to walk that way. We must walk in mercy, number 1. To walk in mercy. Everybody say mercy. Mercy means goodness and kindness. We must walk in goodness and kindness. That if we are going to be successful in life, and if we are going to have the favor of God and favor with man, as this scripture says, then we must walk in mercy. We must walk in goodness and kindness. And that means being nice to people. Amen? How many of y'all like nice people? How many of y'all are nice people? Good. Y'all should be successful. For those in the front, only half the room raised their hands, by the way. Success in life is dependent upon showing kindness and goodness to other people. And it goes along with the principle of Jesus that we are to love our neighbor as ourselves. If we are going to be successful in life, friends, we must be kind to one another and be good to one another. The way that life is going these days, people have no concern about one another. You might see in the news just recently, a gentleman in New York that was trying to rescue another lady, and he wound up getting stabbed, and so he was on the sidewalk. He was dying. He was laying in a pool of blood while, for I think it was at least an hour, people kept walking past him while he was dead on the ground or dying on the ground. At one point, somebody was taking a video of him. Another point, somebody picked him up to see what he was in blood, and they put him back down and walked on his way. Now, friend, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to know that if somebody's in need, you need to help them. And for us to be successful in life, it means sometimes that we have to lay down our own life, our own time, in order to help other people. Because if we're going to be successful with God and with man, we need to think about somebody besides ourselves. You know, we are so consumed, are we not? With our lives. We have everything in our lives that just wraps around us. And so I just want to challenge you. If you want to be successful in life, you need to take it a step further and just be merciful, be kind, and be good. Because how we treat others affects every portion of our life. Our marriage, our relationship with our children, and our church, our co-workers. Listen to me, young people. When you go out to work, this principle right here will make you go a long way. By being good and kind to others, especially the boss, amen? Even when the boss doesn't deserve it, the Bible tells us that we're to show love and kindness. So I challenge you, if you want to be successful, show mercy. Then he says, we must walk in truth. Notice what he says here, in truth. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. What he's saying, don't let these things forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Now, when he says the word truth, it's not talking about, most of the time when we talk about truth, it's talking about the truth right here. But this word truth means something a little different. In the Hebrew, it means certainty, stability, trustworthiness, and it conveys a sense of reliability. If we are to walk in truth, it means that people need to be able to rely on us. Is it any wonder that this is connected with success and having favor with God and with man? Because if you're a person that can be depended on, people will depend on you. If you're a person of truth, then people can take your word for what it says. Remember the days whenever you could go into the bank? I don't remember those, but used to, my dad told me, you could walk in the bank, get a loan with a handshake. Because people took your good word. And today, if you're going to be a person that's dependent upon, if you're going to be successful, you have to be a person that is reliable and dependable in all that you do. That goes from your family relationship to your work relationship to your church relationship. Everything that we do, we must be a person who is faithful and trustworthy. I read this story about Sam Finley, who decided it was time for him to retire from his garment business. And so he was going to turn over the reins to his son, Mervin. So he began to give his son Mervin some advice about how to run the family business. He said, there's two things that you must realize in order to be successful in this business. He said, first, take reliability. If you promise goods by the 10th of the month, you better deliver the goods by the 10th of the month. So reliability, he says, is that you give the goods whenever you say they're going to give them. He says, if you promised on that day, then you better have overtime and golden time in order to make sure that that request is fulfilled whenever you said it was. So his son looked up and said, well, Dad, what about the wisdom? He said, wisdom is not making such a stupid promise. Reliability. You know, that's one thing that I believe has escaped our society. We see it all the time of the forked tongue. Saying one thing and doing another. Saying you're going to do this and not doing it. And friends, if we're going to be successful in life, especially if we are Christian and believers, we should be the most faithful and truthful people of all. That if we are going to be successful with God and with man, then we must live this life and walk in truth. Because faithfulness is the key. Paul said to the Corinthian church, moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. And whenever I think of the word faithful, I think about faithful to your wife, faithful to your children, faithful to your job, faithful to your church. And what that says is that you're faithful to your wife, that she can have faith in you, or your spouse, that they can have faith in you. Your children, they can have faith in you and your employer, that whenever they tell you to be here tomorrow, that you need to be here tomorrow on time. Amen? Amen. That's just for you graduates, making sure. And that's for some of you others. That if it's 8 o'clock is your time to be there, 8:01 is not on time. Amen? Amen? All right, let's move on. Success. Number two, success is found in trusting God. Success is found in trusting God. Verse number 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path. Perhaps out of the things that we do in our life, this would probably be number one. That in your life, you need to trust in God. The word trust literally means to cling to or to attach oneself to. And if we are going to have favor with God, then we have to be able to cling to God and allow Him to be in our lives, to run our lives, and to be the person that we submit to in our lives. So often in the things that happen in our life, we don't trust like we should. Anybody ever have a time where you were wondering if you could actually trust God? Things were happening, and you're like, man, where is God? And what trust is clinging to God whether you feel Him or not. It's trusting God and clinging to Him whether you think He's with you or not. Because I can guarantee you this, whether you feel God or not, God is there. Amen. You know how we know? Because the Bible tells us. That He'll never leave us nor forsake us. So in trusting God, in being successful in life, the first key is that we must trust God with our lives. Proverbs 28:25 says, "He who is of a proud heart stirs up strife, but he who trusts in the Lord will be prospered." Y'all catch that? But he who trusts in the Lord will be prospered. And I love the word prospered in the Hebrew because it describes my condition. You know what the word prospered means? To be fat. Well fed. To be rich. It's descriptive of the fat coming off the ashes of the sacrificial system in Israel. That to be fat is meaning that you are prosperous. So whenever I go around the house and I rub my belly, I say, boy, I'm prosperous. Amen. But if you trust in the Lord, He shall make you fat in the sense spiritually that we are prospering in the things of God, that our soul is prospering. Fat animals, according to Hebrew tradition, were always considered to be the most healthy. Now, that's not an excuse for us to be unhealthy. Amen. But the concept of prosperity was always associated with fatness. In Psalm 63. It said that I shall be satisfied with marrow and fatness. And what that means is this, is that when we put our trust and faith in God, that He prospers us and that spiritually we are healthy and we are prosperous and we are growing. Because we cannot live life without trust. Now if we're in a marriage and in this relationship and one spouse doesn't trust the other, is that a healthy relationship? No, but in your spiritual relationship, you have to be willing to say, I trust you, God, with my life, and that will make for a healthy relationship. There's three things real quickly about trusting the Lord. First, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Trust Him with all your heart. Mary Brainerd said it like this, I would rather walk with God in the dark than go alone in the light. You see, trust with all your heart is trusting God even if you feel let down. Trusting God with all your heart is trusting God from the heart, not from the emotions, not from the circumstance, not from the situation. It's trusting God with everything that you have from your heart, that your heart is rooted and grounded in Christ. And if you are in a relationship with God, you are trusting Him from the depths of your heart, not based off of what you're facing today. You see, trust is depending on God even when you feel let down. And then second, you have to acknowledge Him in all of your ways. I'm sorry, second, lean not to your own understanding. Got ahead of myself. Lean not to your own understanding. That's what He says, verse number 5. And lean not on your own understanding. Trust in God often defies how we think things ought to be. Because our understanding is of a circumstance, and God's understanding is a little bit different, and sometimes a lot different. The Bible says that His ways are not our ways. That you and I, we look at where we are right now, but God looks on the spectrum of eternity. That the Bible says that in our life, you know, good life is 70 to 80 years, and God's life is like millions of years. And so for us to be able to walk successfully, it's to learn to not lean on our own understanding, on our own knowledge, and even sometimes on our own common sense. To say, you know, God, I'm going to trust you in this because I believe that's what you want me to do. Now, here's the critical thing, that you have to be a person of prayer and the word. Because if you're going to lean on God and not your own understanding, your knowledge is going to get in the way if you don't learn to lean on God. And if you're not in sensitivity to the Holy Spirit and what God wants to do in your life, then friend, let me tell you, it's going to be hard to not lean on your understanding. It brings up the third thing, acknowledge Him in all of your ways. Acknowledge Him in all your ways. The Bible says He shall direct your path. I think that in the world we live, is that this is one of the most dropped features of our walk with God. Because we have a hard time acknowledging Him in all of our ways. And so what happens is we make bad decisions. Anybody ever made a bad decision? It's because whenever we make those bad decisions, we are not acknowledging God in all of our ways. When it has to do with something big in our life, like, let me just kind of just throw this out here for you graduates especially. Acknowledge God before you decide who to marry. Acknowledge God before you're in a relationship. Acknowledge God before you choose your career. Because here's the thing, sometimes you're going to get into a career and you think, that's what I want to do. But God may have something different. And this is what the world tells us, that I'm going to go to this career path because there's more money in this, but I'd like to do this. I really believe God's leading me this way, but it's half the money. Now, which one do you think you're going to be happier at in the end? Not the one with more money, but the one that God wants you in. The place. Now it might be that God prospers you in a place that makes good money. That's great. But what I'm saying is in life and your decisions and how you do things with career and with family and relationships, friends, we need to acknowledge God before we jump off into the deep end without Him. Because especially, let me just kind of hone in on the graduates real quick. Because a bad relationship can make a bad life. And if you don't acknowledge God before you choose who, they may look great on the, you know, the front side, you know. You know, in dating, everything looks really good, right? And then you start living with them. And then all of a sudden, like, oh my word, what did I do? So I encourage you. Acknowledge God in all of your ways and let Him direct your path. Third one. Everybody still with me? Moving right along. Third. Success is found in giving. I'm just going to talk briefly about this because it's in the text and it's really important for us. Verse number 9, honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Church, success in life is found in your giving. It's not that you are giving to get back, but rather it's about obedience to God in your giving. And I would just encourage, especially graduates and young people, make this a part of your life from the very beginning. Get used to paying your tithes. Get used to giving God money at the very beginning. Because the longer you go in life and you have children, all that, if that's not in your plan, it's going to be hard to start doing it later on. So here is success. God defines success in this whole chapter. And part of that is success is found in how we give. It didn't say how much we give, but rather how we give in obedience and concording with God's word. That means we pay our tithes, we give offerings. That's a part of our life that we ought to be living in. Remember hearing the story about a small town in Oklahoma had one bank and three churches. Monday morning came along and the bank called over to every church asking the same thing. Please, can you all hurry up and get your offering here? We've run out of dollar bills. That one hurt, didn't it? Giving is meant to be a trait of the believer. Notice what he says if you give. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. Notice he uses the word honor. You're honoring God with what he's given you. So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Two things he says here, that you're going to be blessed financially because you give. Didn't say he was going to make you rich. It just said he's going to take care of you. That your barns will be filled with plenty. You're going to have enough. That God is going to bless you. The phrase barns in there has it denotes that you'll be materially blessed. That he will make sure that you are taken care of. Second, it's the spiritual blessings. He says our vats will overflow with new wine. That is a reference to the wine and the fruit that comes from the harvest. Spiritual blessings come whenever you obey God in giving. I think this is greater than a material blessing, because as you obey God in your life, you obey Him in your giving, and you obey God with your life, He blesses you more spiritually than anything, because you're acting in obedience to His will and His word. So if you're going to be successful in life, you have to give. I like this poem that says, "Go give to the needy, sweet charity's bread, for giving is living," the angel said. "And must I be giving again and again?" my peevish, petulant answer ran. "Oh no," said the angel, piercing me through. "Just give till the master stops giving to you." The Bible doesn't require us to give what we don't have. The Bible says that we are to give to the Lord as He's blessed us. So I encourage you to give. Last thing this morning, success is found in gaining wisdom. Look down at verse number 7 and then over to verse number 13. Success is found in gaining wisdom. Don't be wise, verse 7. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Verse 13. Happy is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. We've talked about wisdom in our series on, you know, Proverbs quite a bit. So especially for our graduates today, I just want to kind of just hone in on this again. That we, if we're going to be successful in life, we need the wisdom of God. We need to have wisdom, because wisdom is connected to happiness. That if we are going to be happy in life and find God moving in our life, we have to have the wisdom of God, which comes from His Word and from the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Solomon was the wisest man who ever lived, yet he does not complicate in the book of Proverbs how to gain wisdom. Why does he do that? Because wisdom is attainable for every one of us. It's not like it was not just that Solomon had a dream one day and asked God for wisdom and God just granted that to him and it's never been done again. Solomon writes about wisdom because he says for us to gain that wisdom. And there's three things real quickly that you need to do. Ask God for it. We must ask God for wisdom. James 1 and 5, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives it to all liberally without reproach. And it'll be given to him. Church, it's simple. Ask God for wisdom. And God will lead you and guide you. Now, let me just kind of clarify this. Whenever you ask God for wisdom, and God gives it, you have to take His wisdom. Even if it doesn't line up with what you want to hear. Amen? You know anybody that's ever asked for you for advice? And they you gave them the advice that they needed to do, and then they got mad at you because of the advice you gave them, because that's not what they wanted to hear. That's how we often are with God. God, you know, God, give me wisdom. And He lays it out for you. You do this, do this, and do this. And then you're like, oh, I don't know, God. Number two. Let's try it again. I've known in my own life, I've done the same thing. Sometimes God brings this great wisdom and advice in my life that, you know, I like to do it some different way, because most of the time it's uncomfortable when God gives us what we really need. Second, seek wisdom from wise people. Seek wisdom from wise people. Do you know we can learn from other people? Amen? Proverbs 13 and 20, he who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed. He who walks with wise men will be wise. My admonition is to watch who you hang around. If you walk around in the company of fools, your life is going to be a wreck. If you walk with wise people, it'll change your life. Because I'm a man, I have a hard time with asking for advice in certain areas. And that comes from reading a map. Amen? One time we were driving through to Oklahoma from Houston. And we decided to take this back road and we went through Waco, Texas. Anybody ever been to Waco? It's a horrible town. It's horrible. You can't find your way out of there. It's terrible. So we're driving through Waco, and I'm telling you, we were there driving around, I guarantee, the loop for at least 3 hours. And this is the conversation in the car. Why don't you just pull over and ask for directions? No, we're on the loop. We'll get out of here. We'll just find 35 and keep going. Sonny's back there saying, oh, man, this guy's stupid. Yeah, you know? Because we kept driving around over and over and over again. I'd even look at the map. The map wasn't doing it because, you know, I didn't know Waco. It was dark. It was at night. I didn't like Waco anyway. We spent 3 hours driving around Waco before I finally conceded to let Sonia go in and ask for directions. Yeah. And then one guy gave us the wrong directions, you know? If you want to be wise, you have to ask for directions. There is nothing wrong. There is nothing wrong. There is nothing stupid about asking questions. Absolutely not. If you don't know something, don't act like you know it. Just say, I don't know. I'm going to find out. That's the best way to live life. Because if you're trying to just go on your own knowledge and think you know everything, it's going to wreck eventually. You might be smart. You might have an education. You might do all that. But there's some things that you may not know. And so for us to gain wisdom, we have to ask wise people. We need to read the Word of God. We need to read the Bible. We need to read the book of Proverbs. And we need to ask people. Last thing, we need to exalt wisdom. Exalt it. Look at chapter 4, verse 8. Exalt wisdom. He says, exalt her and she will promote you. She will bring you honor when you embrace her. Exalt her and she will promote you. Friends, if we are going to be successful, you need to make wisdom a priority in your life. The word exalt means to mound up. It means to place on a pedestal. And that's what we do in life. We're saying, okay, God, I want to have wisdom. And so I'm going to place this on a pedestal. And you gain knowledge from every place that you can gain it. Woodrow Wilson said this, I use not only all the brains I have, but all I can borrow. And so exalt wisdom, church. Young people, exalt wisdom. Let God move in your life and don't be afraid to ask God advice or even seek out wise people. Let's pray. Father, we need you. We know we don't have all the answers in life, and Lord, we do want to be successful. We want to be blessed. We want to live life, God, according to your word and the way that you would have us to live. Father, we know that you are an abundant amount of wisdom in your life, that God, you have all the answers for us. And Father, as we've looked in your word, Lord, help us to trust you with all of our heart, to lean not to our own understanding, to acknowledge you in all of our ways. Lord, help us to walk in mercy, to walk in truth, to be people of our word. Help us to be givers and help us to be wise. And Father, as we pray for people this morning, we just ask for you to move, minister to needs. And as we pray over these young people this morning, Father, I just pray that you would just bless their lives, ordain their steps from here out. In Jesus' name. With every head bowed and every eye closed.